Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back to another episode. So today we have with us Santana Innes. Santana did everything right. She got the degree, got the titles, got the bag. But after a decade of leading digital strategy in the nonprofit and tech sectors, she realized that her life was just off. She felt stuck, stressed, and unfulfilled. Driven by a personal development journey, Santana took the bold leap of leaving a successful career to align her work with her life's vision. Now, she helps driven professionals move from block to balance through aligned coaching. So if you can't tell, this is really like the path of where, we've been talking about this on the podcast over several episodes, and we are going to have an incredible conversation, just really built on authenticity and just peeling the layers back, like no more masks, just really giving it to you, just how it is, like the truth behind it. So I want to pass the mic to Santana to share a little bit more about herself and the journey that led to where she's at today.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. It's my honor to be here. But yeah, I love even how you started, like, let's peel back the mask, peel back the layers. Like, we're just going to be real. This is going to be a very real conversation. And so starting my story and my journey, like, let's start that real. And so for me, like, my story begins like in the inner city with two parents doing their absolute best. And very often falling short. And so the experiences of growing up in poverty and like the path of navigating away from that reality was really central to my story for, quite a few decades, two decades or so, I would say. And so eventually, the thing that allowed me to kind of overcome or work through or work beyond some of those more humble beginnings was, the love affair that I had with education and, becoming one of the first people in my family to graduate university or get a master's degree. And so once I took that path, then I was like, oh, what's this career thing? Right. It wasn't climbing the corporate ladder wasn't something that I saw modeled for me when I was growing up. But, as an elder millennial, like they really sold that to us, wholesale, get the degree, climb the ladder, and then you can enjoy life. And so that's exactly the pursuit that I set out on. And I became so focused on the outside indicators of success, like, can I get the next title? Can I get the next promotion? Can I manage others? Can I manage a lot more others? Can I earn the salary? Can I break into the six figures? Can I get my first VP title, right? I became really focused on these outside indicators of success. And where that led me was to like complete burnout, complete and utter burnout. The realization that I had come like really far away from myself and the ways that I had to shave off some of the edges of myself to be successful in a corporate space, to be a leader as a woman of color in a corporate space. And so when that kind of burnout and that wake up happened, I had two choices, get back on the job path and keep applying for jobs and keep on keeping on, or take the time that I need to heal and recover. And then when I feel ready, ask myself these difficult questions. Who am I really? What do I value? Why did I burn out? Why was I feeling so bad at work? And when I knew the answer to that, the path became clear. And so now I work every day to help others, primarily women, but a few men wander in there too. So primarily women, working with them every day to take that same journey into the self to understand, what do I value? Who am I? And how do I live that out loud? So that's a little bit about my journey.
I feel like you took pages out of my book. Like literally, I can relate to almost everything that you just shared. And it's so, uncanny when we think about, you know, as we're going through our life, we wonder, like, does anyone else get it? Does anyone else understand? Am I completely alone in this journey? And, you know, the more that from my own personal experience, the more I started sharing and opening up more and having platforms such as this podcast to invite these candid conversations to really take that deep dive, it has been so validating and rewarding in the sense that every single one of our guests has a backstory very similar in regards to the overcoming, right? Because as we're confident women, we don't just come out of the womb confident. This is something that is shaped by our backstories and our upbringing and just life in general. And I think that that's a really unique point to, you know, for our listeners, as you see kind of the through line of what we're bringing here and helping to close those bridges and those gaps, because such incredible women such as Santana and all, you know, previous guests have had such adversity in overcoming and look at where they're at today. And I say that because it's through the struggle and through the strife, it shapes our character and builds us into these confident versions of who we declare ourselves to become, right? And so as you mentioned, discovering yourself, right? Really uncovering, questioning yourself, finding it, instead of seeking externally those outside indicators, what is it that really lights you up? And I love how you shared such detail about that. So I just want to give you that because, wow, that's something that is, before we hit record, I asked Santana, I said, how deep do you want to go on this conversation? And she's like, however you want to go. So I know those listening, I'm like, I can go a little deep, but I can also kind of, you know, keep it simple. But I think I really want to talk about three points that you had made today just in that story. And that is the unfulfillment of chasing the external indicators and realizing that in this life, it feels like it's already predetermined. Like you have to do all the things, right? Check the boxes, get the degree, get the job, make the six figures, get the promotion, lead teams, do all these stuff, right? And you're supposed to do all these things like perfectly and with a smile on your face and not even like bat an eye or ever feel like questioning yourself. And then the other thing, you know, about how when we chase something in that caliber, the burnout, right? So we know that it's not sustainable. And so many of our ladies have been saying the same thing, like burnout is so rampant in their life. It's like, wow, how did we even get here? And then I loved how you shared when you hit that burnout, you're standing at a crossroads and you're wondering, what path do I go on now? And that's, you said, before I even went on that path, I had to look inward and start asking myself these questions. So I think that that's, you know, something that we can definitely dive deeper into, but I would love to have you share a little bit more about some of those obstacles that you had to overcome. What were some of the strategies that you started taking to kind of get to there, right? Because if you're standing at the crossroad, and this is for those listening as well, you could be at the starting line of anything in your life. But sometimes the hardest part is taking that first step.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, wow, incredible question. I think for me, a first step is listening, right? And I think there's a beautiful book called 7,000 Ways to Listen. And if that sounds cray cray, I mean, pick up a copy or get the audiobook. But the thing that I love about that book is that it talks about how you can listen in, you know, thousands of ways without your ears. Without your ears. What is my body telling me? Right? How do I feel? What does stress feel like in my individual body? Right? If I feel afraid, if I feel in scarcity, if I feel stuck or trapped, why? How? Where? And, you know, asking that question with curiosity and kindness and listening for the answer. Because in that answer, there's a lot of opportunity. But when we're navigating this millennial social contract, which is get the degrees, climb the ladder, pay your dues, burn out, but don't tell anyone, never take your vacation, right? All of those unspoken social rules that so many of us came into, you know, the workplace and into life with, it's just impossible to continue on that path without checking in with self, right? And so that curiosity, but the kindness is one of the most important tools in my tool chest. It's like, hey, we struggle. We're human. Suffering is a part of the story. And that doesn't make me less worthy. And it doesn't make me less valuable. And it doesn't make me unworthy of love or less lovable, right? And so when I struggle, why and where in my body and how? And so asking myself those questions and starting from that place in this most recent transition, you know, it was very difficult to say, okay, I'm going to walk away from this career where people know me. I got a deep Rolodex, right? It would not have been difficult to go out and get a new job. It wouldn't have been difficult to continue climbing that ladder on paper. Inside, I was running on fumes and it wasn't sustainable for me. I had to know how and why and where in my body in order for me to figure out what path I'm going to take next. And to do that from an embodied place of this is really who I am. This is really what I value. This is really what I feel. This is what I need. And to name and claim that, that's authenticity. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think authenticity is just a synonym. Like people use it interchangeably with confidence. I like it a little bit better because it's the wellspring of what's true deeply for you.
Ooh, I love that. I love that it's, you know, confidence is authenticity. And as much as, you know, I've been on this journey myself personally. It's like this journey of self-discovery and exploration. And that was the one thing that really resonated. And the more that you lean in and become your true authentic self, which comes through the series of just trial and error, right? You discover this. And the most freeing thing that you can be in this entire life is just true to who you are. And that is the freedom within. So I love how you shared this. Different ways of listening, different ways of checking in, asking yourself, what is it that I want? But more importantly, what is it that I don't want at this point in my life? How does it feel? Where is this feeling inward that I'm feeling? Is it in my heart? Is it in my gut? Is it in my brain, right? Sometimes we think the logic and the heart, but they don't align. And recognizing that. And so as you go deeper into this journey of self-exploration, you learn the values that you'd mentioned, the beliefs, the identities, all those core things that are true to your soul and to like the spirit that resides in you. It's like, that is who you truly are. And it's been buried beyond all the things externally. As you said, societal pressures, the norms, your own expectations, the beliefs that people had placed upon you, to the names and the limits and the titles and things like that. And it's like, how do we get to uncover our authentic self? Right. And so Santana did a beautiful job of summarizing that. And you know what, again, this is a personal journey. Nobody can find that for you. Nobody could define that for you. And that is the freedom where essentially you hold that key and you get to discover it, step into it, and become this version of you that is just the most confident. It's so real. And it's that transparency when you could just show up as you, tied in with vulnerability. That's, man, those are my three things. I call it the VAT. It's the vulnerability, authenticity, and transparency. Hmm. When all three of them, there's nothing left behind. And that took a lot of, for me, to do with my book, Chasing Perfection. It's like, man, I had a mask and a hat for every single thing. And it got exhausting. Yep. Hat for this one, a mask for that one. What do they need? What do they want? And it was always about externally pleasing to make sure others were happy with how I performed in some capacity, whether it was people pleasing, getting that next degree, because we were the first family to have children go to college as well. Yeah. We also came from a very underprivileged poverty family. And it was a lot of shame. A lot of shame was packed in, especially as a young kid, you feel that, you know, the difference. And so that's a lot of stuff that gets buried beyond. And so when we start externally trying to live a life that we hope that the world will accept, therefore they'll accept us. All right. So,
yes.
Oh man, you unpacked quite a bit. So thank you. I love this stuff, but obviously, you know, you took a big, bold move in doing so. Once you found out like things that light you up, you said, yeah, I have a Rolodex. Yeah, I can call people. But do I want to at this point? And you chose to walk away from that career. And tell us about it. What's next? How did that unfold?
Well, first of all, you got to know when to hold them and you got to know when to fold them.
Yes, you do.
You know, and it's like, okay, so I got to this place in my career and I could get another job, you know, and I could do that and I can keep on this pathway. But how is that bringing me closer to this vision that I have for my life? You know, how is it bringing me closer to, you know, because when I'm with that, was it the VAT? When I'm with the VAT, the energy, that's when they talk about magnetism. That's when they talk about vibrating high, right? That's what that is. So demystifying that, when someone says, isn't she lovely? Isn't she so confident? Isn't she so magnetizing? She's just comfortable with herself, right? And so when I got to the place where I'm like, okay, I only want to be in rooms where I'm comfortable with myself, and that is value. That is valued. It is valuable, right? Mm-hmm. I want to live out loud. I don't want a square peg round hole. I want a round hole, right? And I want that when I'm vibrating highest, that it's serving my purpose and the impact that I want to have. And when that became clear, I was like, oh, the path is clear. The path is clear. And so I left a career of over a decade, and I became a coach. I did retraining and certification, a lot of education, because I really wanted to learn the state of the art and the ethical applications and how to really walk along the path with someone else. Because along my journey of professionalism, there's also been a personal development journey unfolding, right? I've, you know, become a Buddhist. I've become a mindfulness practitioner, a meditator. I've done all kinds of therapy, you name it. I've probably tried it. I've probably read thousands of pages of self-help books, right? So all across a decade, I know how to walk this path. I know how to see in others what they can't see yet. I know how to tell the story of a million puzzle pieces. So how can I help other people to walk that path for themselves and to figure out, is this my value? Or did I learn this from the outside? Because you talked about shame. Mm-hmm. And I think that we all have different shadow motivators for the decisions that we make and the careers that we chase and the relationships that we enter or stay in. And shame is a biggie. Mm-hmm. Shame is a biggie. It was a big part of my story. You know, if I get this degree, will they know where I came from? No, they probably won't ask that question. And so now I'm really mindful about telling the complete journey and the complete story because I didn't see anyone like me when I was a little girl. I didn't hear anyone telling this story. And so the beauty of getting to walk this path with other people and to help them thread that needle for the first time, this is the armor that I've put on, and this is the armor I want to take off. It's beautiful. And a lot of people thought I was crazy. The LinkedIn comments, I mean.
Of course, right? Somebody always has something to say. And it's like, but how do you internalize that with the comments? What do you do with that?
First of all, it's engagement. So thanks, haters. Like, love that journey for me. Thank you.
And please give me in the algorithm.
Thank you. Please keep it up. No, I mean, let's be real for a second, right? Because even though I'm a coach, and even though I have a backpack full of tools that have come from a mindfulness journey a decade long, it doesn't mean that I don't have shadows, and it doesn't mean that I don't experience the sting of limiting beliefs. I had to navigate those questions for myself before I came out into the world like, hello, I'm a coach. I had to think, okay, what am I afraid of when I update my LinkedIn? What am I going to feel when I do that? Because I'm noticing resistance to the idea of updating my LinkedIn. Ooh, curiosity. Why is that? What's tender here? What hurts? What am I protecting? Okay. You know, I'm fearing that, you know, people will be judgmental, or maybe they'll think this wasn't an aligned action, but I failed out of my career. You know, maybe there will be that judgment. Maybe people will think I'm less worthy now, that I can't help them in the ways that maybe I could have helped them before. And when that comes up, well, this is just a limiting belief. It is a belief system. And if it's a belief system, number one, it's a choice. And that is difficult information to sit with. Because when we are doing things that sabotage ourselves from living our best possible in life,
yep,
it is really difficult to sit with and hold tenderly the idea that we are choosing to believe X, Y, or Z. But if we can get outside of how difficult it is to be with that reality, then we can start to view the opportunity in it, right? Because if it's a choice, I have control. Beautiful. So then I get to say, what is this belief protecting? Do I need this protection now? What would be a more empowering way to talk to myself around this, to reach out to my community, to my trusted, you know, support network, to share what I'm experiencing? You know, if I say, I could use some encouragement before I post, okay, now I know what to do. Now I move that from a limiting belief, because it's not going to stop me from updating my LinkedIn profile with this big change, to simply a thought. From limiting belief to simply a thought. And we have unpleasant thoughts all day, every day.
Right.
They're constantly popping up. So what makes this any different? It's not different. And so when we work with the energies that are holding us back from walking in a path, look, if you're afraid, you're probably walking directly into the path that you're supposed to be walking into, unless it's into the, you know, like the den of a bear, like literally. Please don't do that.
Run back up.
No bears, okay? But if it's a figurative bear, right? it's a trigger. It's an uncomfortable emotion. It's an unprocessed big feel like shame or resentment or whatever it is. Moving closer to what's true for you often comes with what feels like fear. So how do you work with that energy and transform it so that it goes from belief that holds you back to, this is simply a thought another thought. And now here I am on my way doing what I need to do.
Yes. Oh, well said. Well said. And I love how you just really brought it back to self and those questions so that we can really find what is our truth. And I know that we've talked at great lengths about limiting beliefs throughout episodes. And, you know, I like how you put it in that perspective. So that's unique and different for this particular conversation, which I really love. And I know that when we talk about the limiting beliefs, sometimes, and I think, and I would love to hear your perspective on this, sometimes it's hard to discern the difference between that limiting belief and the truth, right? Because while we have been telling ourselves, or somebody else has been telling it, right? Because when it plays on repeat, it's that narrative loop, which then becomes part of our story. And if we keep telling ourselves a story, whether it's truth or lie, we'll eventually believe it. And that will be a part of our identity.
Yeah.
And so when we start questioning those limiting beliefs, we're essentially questioning who we are. And that's a big, scary area that it feels like, I don't want to go there because I know who I am. And then we start like, you know, I'm this, I'm that. It's like this like machoism, like you have to protect it. And it feels very defensive because it's like, but then our character, our identity is under attack. So what do? We safely retreat. We find comfort. We find shelter and we find a place that's safe. And that's where we don't have the courage or confidence and to peek our head back out because it's like, oh, well, then the whole world is full of scary bears. But it's like, how can we get to that next level in a way that feels not so scary and daunting? Like I'm about to jump into this bear cave. And even though I know I got to move through that, but there's still that bear. Yeah. How can we discern the difference between that narrative so that we can confidently step out?
Yeah, beautiful question. And I love the way that you laid that out because that experience is very real. Mm-hmm. It's very real. When I have folks in the coaching space with me, and this is a really common question, how can I tell the difference between a belief and a limiting belief? And inherent in that question is, how can I tell the difference between a limiting belief and the truth? And that's a very useful question. Or simply a belief in the truth, right? Mm-hmm. Because beliefs are all choices, right? Truths are facts. So very often, the way to start working with a limiting belief is to start to poke holes very gently in the structure that's built around it, right? And when you scrutinize them with love, limiting beliefs are actually pretty flimsy, right? Because if you say something like, I'm not smart enough to get a PhD. This is random. I haven't tried to get a PhD, but if you think I am not talented enough to get the promotion, I can never earn what those other people are earning. All you have to do is find the one question and the one example where that thing is not true. Right? The one example. Because when you work with absolutes, which limiting beliefs usually are, mm-hmm. Oh, the beauty of an absolute is you only need a single example to break the logic. Ah, the opportunity in that. Limiting beliefs are not nuanced. It's not like they're like, well, you know, given these 7 sets of criteria, and under these 15 potential scenarios, the most likely outcome is that I will not be able to achieve this thing. No, this is not our limiting beliefs pop up in our brains. They're usually absolutes, right? They're usually pretty black or white. And all you have to do is see a single other color in the kaleidoscope. That's it. And so there is sometimes this misunderstanding about what it can mean to start to work with a limiting belief. And I would want to bring to mind for the listeners clay, Working and reworking a limiting belief is like putting the clay back on the pottery wheel. Yeah. Okay, it's going to take a little while, right? We're going to feel into it with our hands. We're going to change the shape of it for a while. It should be slow, right? Because you are tap dancing into territory of the conception of self, of the ego. And I don't mean that in the negative connotation of that word. I mean that in the psychological element that protects our concept of where I end and you begin. And when you start tap dancing on that territory, oh, we've got to go slow. We've got to go slow. But it starts with the questioning of the belief. Is this true? Is it always true? That's a different question than do I believe this? That answer is yes. But is it true? And is it always true? Mm-hmm. And what happens if it's not true? Is there a parallel universe I can imagine in which this belief is not true? What would my life be like if this dream or if this belief were not true? And so I think the important takeaways is that it is a slower process. You know, I'm not going to sell you the snake oil and say, you can, you know, take my course. I don't have course, but you can take my course and wake up tomorrow with no limiting beliefs. It doesn't work that way. But with time and with practice and with questioning, you can start to hack your own brain. Because a limiting belief is protected by confirmation bias. The second you believe something, your brain is like, cool, that's settled. Your brain is lazy because it takes a lot of energy and it doesn't want to constantly be burning fuel. So it wants to learn that fire burns once. For me, the big life lesson was don't stick tweezers in the socket. I did that when I was 4. Never did it again. The brain likes those kinds of lessons. It's very comfy and efficient. When you start to poke holes in a belief by questioning, is it true? Is it always true? Your brain is like, oh, come on. I got to solve that again. So it's not impossible. It's just going to take inertia because your brain doesn't really want to be solving that challenge again, right? But when you start to bring in, here's something else I could believe. Maybe it's not that I'm not smart enough to get a PhD. Maybe it's that I don't yet understand all of the steps to get a PhD. Oh, we can work with that. We can work with that. The brain will get real busy. Oh, what are the steps? Curiosity. Let's break those down. If I'm answering your question, I'm riffing on this theme.
I'm letting you go because you were going on all kinds of like tangents that I probably would have been asking those questions about. So I love, oh my gosh, this is so intricate and so detailed. And I'm following along with you on everything because it's like, I had to go through all of that, right? Mm-hmm. And as you said, it's not like it's one and done. It's a constant journey because we've never arrived. We've never arrived at our destination. So life is always teaching you some facet, some lesson, some something. But we have to be curious and mindful and open in this wonderment to go explore. And sometimes that wonderment to explore is really the step of you know, courage and confidence into the unknown. Because curiosity outweighs the fear. And you're just like, wow, well, if I could question that and that became true, what is that supporting evidence that was backing that belief that now I want to challenge as well? And it's almost like this domino effect because there's all these pieces that are stacked behind it because that had been a way of life based on your beliefs, your thinking, your identity. And so when you shed one, you're like, oh, man, I got to be gentle because I'm going to knock the whole, you know, the house of cards are going to come falling down. And getting to that place where discerning the difference between that truth and lie, I love how you said gently poking those holes because they're paper thin. They don't have anything concrete to support that. And as much as we might have heard the same thing over and over again from our loved ones or our peers or whoever it is. Again, going back to the beginning of this conversation, when Santana had said, it's all about these outside indicators. Everything outside of you is considered an external indicator, is an external block from preventing you to become a better version of you. And only you can find that and define it and keep sharpening it. And, you know, as much as it pains, well, when I had to go through this, it pained me to say, like, oh, I started questioning, like, my loved ones. Like, I no longer believe what they have to say. And it was like, but I didn't want to ruffle those feathers. I also didn't want to damage that relationship. But I had to look at it from a whole different perspective. It was like, wow, their belief about me or the circumstance was limiting me from becoming my best self. So I love that you unpack so much of that in the context as well. But what another book that came to mind as you were sharing about the ego, right? Because sometimes we think of the ego as like this, you know, the what's the word I'm looking for? Self-driven, right? It's like very vain and self-centered, things like that, where it's like about me. But it's a different form. And I know that you had said it way better than I did. But the ego will get in front of you to prevent you because it thinks that that's a way of protecting and that it's leading and it's guiding you. And so the book, I don't know if you probably read it, The Power of Now with Eckhart Tolle. Yeah. I love how he says in this thing, and of course I'm summarizing and paraphrasing here as well. The thinking mind versus the emotional. And then there's the physical, which is our body that moves us. And I loved how he defined the emotional. It's basically, again, this isn't his words, this is mine right now. The way I see it, it's kind of like an Oreo. You have the two ends and you have the stuffing in the middle. And the stuffing in the middle is that emotional component where the brain will tell us, let's go do. But then if the emotions aren't in alignment, it'll put resistance, say, wait, hold up, that's not what we're doing here. And then the body's just kind of stuck, like, are we going or staying? Like, what's happening? And it's almost like those two have to communicate to discern what is that resistance? Mm-hmm. What is that blockage? Because when we can emotionally feel that safetiness or the truth that we can lax into, it's almost like we've eaten the cream filling from the Oreo, and now we can tackle both sides of the Oreo, right? Because now the thinking says, great, now that we settled that, body, go. Take the movement, physically move towards the thing. And that's how I've interpreted it. Obviously, Eckhart Tolle did not talk about that stuff. So I thought it was quite interesting because when he brought up the ego, it was very much driven by the thinking mind in a way that it was empowering the body to move forward without checking in on self. And that's that core, integral, emotional, the feelings, all of those pieces.
Yeah, I love that analogy. And I think it's so important to remember that our brains, bodies, and hearts are fantastically complex. They are. And so you can hold two thoughts at the same time. I want more and I'll never get it. Yep. Right? You can feel the longing to be in more and still think thoughts that are terribly distressing. So I want to name that in the space that paradox is real and it is being experienced by literally billions of people on this planet as I'm saying these words. Like, this is real and it's deeply human. And when we go inside and we create the safe space for ourselves by listening to all of those parts, right? They're all messengers. Emotions, messengers. Pain in the body, messenger. Thought objects, messengers. Right? So it's up to us to go in and say, tender one, I see that you want more. Feel that you want more. I feel it here. I feel longing. I feel desire, I feel stress, whatever it is. But what is this thing that's out of alignment in me? What are these thoughts that aren't helpful, that's stopping my physical body from taking the actions that my heart really wants me to take? And that is literally like alignment. This is the work that, you know, I'm so blessed to do every single day. It's like getting into, what do I value? What do I dream of? What are those pesky thoughts that are popping up and blocking me? How do I learn to work with those energies? Because they will come back again. So how do I learn to MacGyver defuse the bomb before it goes off and prevents me from taking the action that will bring me closer to my own heart? How do I do that? And those actions that I take toward my heart ladder back up to those three. And it's a beautiful process when it happens, but it is not easy. It is possible. And it is also challenging. I mean, you've had this in your own experience to align those three areas. It's tough, but it's so possible, and it's beautiful, and it's worthwhile. And the water is fine. Dip your toe in, ladies. Like, come on, girl, get over here. The water is fine.
You're so right. I mean, this has just been beautiful. And I love how you brought everything back to taking that aligned action. And, you know, as you're standing at those crossroads, it's about finding that pathway to your greater confidence. And that confidence is embracing your authentic self. And so until you can figure that out, you're just going to be mindlessly going through life without checking in. And it's that mindfulness, that consciousness, that curiosity, that wonderment that leads to those deeper self-explorations and discoveries. And when you can find that within yourself, you can look outside and see it in others. And as you mentioned at the beginning, it's about seeing the potential in others, because that potential was dormant within you. And once you discover it, you can point it out. And it's that healer and helper in us that's like, come on, I want to shake this into you, because it's such a gift when you can discover that for yourself, unwrap it. And every day that you're blessed to have that day is another gift to keep giving. So I love that. Oh my goodness. So as we kind of wrap up our beautiful conversation, is there any last words that you want to share with our listeners today?
Yeah. Thank you for asking. And I just to say, I loved this last thought you expressed. It even gave me a little bit of goose skin, a little, that every day is a beautiful opportunity. So just naming that here in the space. And what I would leave listeners with is, yeah, just a little bit more of what I was sharing toward the end there. Like, this journey toward alignment is a journey into the self, and some might call it the heroine's journey or the hero's journey, if we have any fellas listening alongside their partners. And taking up that call, you know, it's a call to adventure. It's a call to adventure. And so that kindness and patience and willingness to allow yourself to fall down. And the willingness to get back up. On the other side of that is a life where you feel more in your body than you have ever felt. And some people call that confidence.
I love that. I love how you just pulled it all together. And, you know, it's true. It's like confidence is you. But who are you? That's the journey. That's the question. And that's the discovery. So, oh my goodness, what a beautiful conversation. So how can we learn more about you and follow along with you on your journey? Because again, this journey never ends, right?
Yeah, beautiful. It never ends. Yeah. So where can folks find me on the interwebs? Because that's where we all live nowadays. You can find me on Instagram at Flow Foundations. It's F-L-O Foundations. You can find me on my website, flowfoundations.com. LinkedIn. I'm a LinkedIn girly. I'm always there. And I would share also that as folks are starting to ask these questions of themselves, I have a really great freebie of journaling prompts that'll take you through these four pillars of alignment. So you can find that on my website.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being our guest today. And of course, all of that will be in the show notes. So be sure to follow and just reach out if this episode resonates with you. Let Santana know. Let myself know. Like, this is what we're here for, is really to help you become your best and most confident self. So thank you for listening. Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.